And it's good to be able to sing God's praises and to lift our hearts. Glory to His name. We're going to turn to the Word of God this evening. It is to the book of Luke, chapter number 8. The book of Luke and chapter number 8. And we're going to read from the verse number 24 in this passage. We could go a little earlier, but we'll just come in at verse number 24. And if you don't love the Lord, pray that there will be a word for unsaved people as we gather here. We're going to read the Word of God, and straight away afterwards I'm going to ask you to stand for a short word of prayer, and then we're going to preach God's precious Word even this evening. Luke chapter number 8, we're reading from verse number 24. Verse 24. And they came to him and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we perish." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto him, "Where is your faith?" And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him." And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. When he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And so when they had fed them, saw that was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found a man, out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. We'll end our reading there. We know the Lord will bless us. We'll be reading of his precious word, and I would encourage you even to underline that part of that passage, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And that's what we want to do this evening, as it were, sit at the feet of Jesus. Let's stand for a short word of prayer. Let's just seek the Lord as we come to the preaching ministry of God's precious word. Father in heaven, as we come to the close of another meeting, we come to the preaching ministry of thy precious word. Lord, I ask, O God, for power from above. Lord, I realize, Lord, as we come to preach thy word, it is a serious business that we're doing. We realize that we are, O Lord, but clay and bones, but yet used of God. O Lord, thou canst do great things. Lord, I ask, O God, for that power. We claim it as a candidate. Let's claim that power this night. Lord, we ask that thou would use thy word that has been read already. And as we preach thy word, may there be signs following the preaching of thy precious, infallible truth. Close us in, O God, we ask of thee, in this final moments of this meeting, and use us for thy glory, for thy honor, we pray, in Jesus' name's sake. Amen and amen. As I began studying for this passage of Scripture and for this meeting, as I looked upon the Word of God and as we were drawn to this passage of Scripture, it was in my heart, as I looked at it, a contrast between two circumstances that happened in the disciples' eyes. or they looked at. This chapter shows the wonder of God in two wonderful ways. How that they were lifted in a time when they felt most weary. And then another man who was lifted in a time where he needed to be lifted. A contrast between two circumstances that the disciples looked at. And just for your own notes, if you want them, my text for this service is, what manner of man is this? I was thinking about life today and how life goes on. Life-changing circumstances don't come around so often today. But when the Savior plucks a brand from the burning, praise God, that brand is set free. And I want every one of you that's gathered in this meeting to be aware that there is no person, there is no one too hard for God. There is no one so far away from the things of God that God cannot save them. Maybe the hardest person you're thinking of, God can make them trophies of grace. You know, in my own prayers, I still pray for people of this congregation and families connected to this congregation. I do so because of a love as we grew up, and knowing that these people are not too hard for God. I mentioned earlier the example of one man in Scripture. The Apostle Paul, as people looked at him, he was too hard for God, as many would say, but nothing's impossible with God. Maybe they were surprised whenever Paul got saved. Maybe you're sitting in this meeting or listening online. You say, if I get saved, the people will be surprised. So what? Praise God, by God's grace, you'll be saved. The hardest person in this land can be broken and transformed. The hardest person can be transformed by God's grace. And we can see in this passage, the man whom no one else could look after. God answered prayer. And I want you to see this man's life transformed. But as we look at this passage, we're going to see what God can do in a life. We can see what God can do if God passes by in circumstances. Just as the Savior could pass this way this evening, God could save your precious soul. We've read God's word. You can probably say that maybe as I look upon that man does bear nothing with me because he's too far down the road. He's too far away and my life doesn't look according to his, but according to the word of God, you're still as much a sinner because you need God's salvation. It is my belief as a preacher of the gospel that God can transform any life and make them a new creature. As I said, I'm praying that God would save a precious soul even this evening. This passage of Scripture points us to hope. It points us to a hopeless situation. The most unlikeliest person God reached to reach his homeland. God reached a man who was once a terror to a nation to be a man who brought the good news to his neighbors. He previously lived a life which was hard. He lived a life of hardship. But when Christ came in, he was the answer. And all changed. And who knew? Who knew what God's plan was for that area and that day? Who knows what God's plan is for this congregation even this evening? But the Lord had a plan for that area. The Lord had a plan for that man's life. And the Lord had a plan that his name would be glorified. I want this evening, as I said, to look at that, to just those words there in verse number 25. It says in those six words, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? That question there is asked by the disciples as they looked at what Christ was able to do. They began to see the wonders of what Jesus Christ could do. Yes, they saw on many occasions that Jesus stepped into certain situations, that Christ answered prayer, that Christ healed the leper and healed the sick and made the lame to walk. And they looked and saw all these things, but now as they gaze upon what the Savior's done, they look and they say, this is beyond human recognition. This is beyond human comprehension. And their mind was truly transfixed with this man being exactly who he said he was. He was the Son of God. But when the disciples said these words, they were convinced without doubt that this truly was the Son of a living God. This was the Messiah. This was the one whom God had promised to come. And they know what he's done in the past. But this has brought a new meaning to their lives. For even the winds, even the rain, and even the water, the seas obey him. And for a moment of time, the disciples gaze upon the Savior. They've been through troubling times. But now they're, as it were, they've been in danger and they've been wondering what's going on, but Christ stepped in. And they knew within all their heart, what manner of man is this? This man's a Savior. What manner of man is this? They knew exactly who he was. Taking this in mind, they begin to go forward. And as they go forward with acknowledgement in their heart that Christ is doing, that Christ has done, and Christ is whom he said he would be, they go forward in the safety that Christ's there in the boat with them. That Christ has done this on their behalf to show them to have faith in God. They come across those waters. And as they reach those that dry land, I'm sure they thoughts were, this is the Son of Man. This is God's Son. And they're convinced that they can say he has the whole world in his hands. They're convinced. He can heal the lame, make the blind to see. And now he can make the winds and the waters obey him. And truly this man is from the beginning. Truly this is God's Son. And their hearts begin to joy. And they know what manner of man this man is. This is the Savior. This is the Savior. And then they come to the country of the Gadarenes. And as they come to that country against Galilee, there in verse number 26, the Bible says, and they arrived in the country of the Gadarenes, which is against Galilee. And they began to walk upon this dry land, having faced the great troubling times and then into great bliss. They walk upon the ground once more. They come to the place of the Gadarenes. And having wondered at the blessing of Jesus Christ, they see a man coming towards them. And maybe before the disciples could even wonder what's going on, they said, they thought these words once again, but only in another context. What manner of man is this that is coming to meet us from the Gadarenes? Yes, they saw the glory of what Christ can do, and they can say what manner of man he is, but then they look at this man and say, what manner of man would this be? And as they come, they saw this man who was, Bible says, a certain man, a devil's long time, wear no clothes, and abode in any house but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, the Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. And we find here that when these men looked upon him, they come to the city, and before them comes the worst sinner in the community. It comes the worst sinner in the land. He was in a wretched situation. He was living a life which was hopeless. He was a broken man. And his sins, if you look at him, they're evident. He's a man the people saw as the greatest sinner in the community. And yet, that doesn't mean that everybody in that place was saved, because they weren't. They looked at this man, they saw his sins, but didn't look at their own sins and saw that they too were sinners. You find it later on, they tell Christ to go. Remember the count over in Matthew chapter number 7? Just turn with me just a second there. Just thinking about this man. Just thinking about these people as they judged this man, as they looked upon him. Matthew 7 gives us an insight to what we as children of God should do. We look at someone who's lowly, and someone that needs the Lord to touch them. It says, judge not, verse 1, Matthew 7, that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you, to you again. Why beholdest thou a mote that is in thy brother's eye, but constrainest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly, and cast it out, the mote out of thy brother's eye. Here we find these people cast, and they looked at this man. He was a sinner, but they refused to count themselves to be sinners. Surely he was a sinner. But this manner of man comes to the Savior that day. And this man did something that nobody else in the community did. He came to Jesus. This man, the worst man in the community. But when Christ came into the land, this man came when no one else would come. The Bible says in verse 27, there met him out of the city a certain man. He comes that way. And out of all the people that lived in that city, the manner of that man they called to be a sinner made a point of coming out to see Jesus. Yes, it's true. The world did look down on this man. Yes, it's true, just as the world looks down and out today. But he still came to Jesus. One of the worst people, they would say, that they had in that community presents himself there on that occasion right before Jesus. No one else came running to greet him. But this man, full of sin, he openly had sinned. He steps forth. Listen to the words in verse 28. He cried out and fell down before him. With a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Notice here, there's a recognition of who Jesus is. There's a recognition of the Savior and the recognition for the manner of man that Christ really is. And as he comes to them, we find that he recognizes, yet the community are not interested. But praise God for the ones and twos which are still coming to know the Lord Jesus in these days of grace. And this would be a day of grace for this man. For he could say, what manner of man is this? But the manner of man that would come to these disciples and come to the Savior, he could look on him and say, this man's in despair. But he's still willing to come to Jesus. He's still willing to be set free. He's still willing to come before the Master. Maybe there's someone listening to our voice this evening and you're thinking, that man seems terrible. I'm not saved. But I'm not terrible. I know that, but you're still a sinner. You're still in need of God's mercy. You're still in need of God's grace. And you need this evening to cry out and say, what manner of man is this that can save me from my sins? Because only Christ is able to deliver man, woman, or young person. Because in the depths of your heart, you're a sinner. But Christ can make you a sinner saved by God's grace. You know what you need this evening? God's mercy. God's mercy. And this man has come out, and this man soon would have the chains and shackles that are holding him back for so long. He will soon have those shackles of sin removed. He will very soon see what the manner of man of Jesus Christ was when he would lift him from the depths and sin and set him free. But this man coming out, and as Jesus comes that way, we see a picture of the city of those who are unsaved. no desire for God's salvation, and they don't know how to deal with sin, because the reality is only the Lord Jesus Christ can deal with sin. And the picture of the land is sinful, but praise God, where sin abounds, God's grace much more abounds. So much so that this man was made new. And surely it can be said of this man that sin has taken him farther than he wants to go. But let's look at this manner of man just for a few moments. In verse 27, it tells us about this manner of man. It says, "And he went forth to land, and there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time." He was a possessed man. He was a possessed man. He had much devils or demons affecting his life for a long time. And that reality is that this man had no peace. He had no peace in his life, and he's been in torment. And his life has been ruined by this torment. And he's tormented others. And he was isolated from others. And he's a stranger to other people. And he lived in wretched places. And being a possessed man, nobody wants him, but yet he comes to Jesus. He's not only a possessed man, but also he's an exposed man. The Bible says in that same verse 27, it says, "And wear no clothes." He had nothing to his name. He had nobody wanted to give him anything or be there for him, but he had nothing to his name, and in life so far had gained him nothing. Gained him nothing. In the eyes of those that looked upon him, he was a nobody. And his life has been exposed before the people. His actions have exposed him to be a sinful man. But still in the midst of all, he's the only one that comes to see Jesus. He's also not only a possessed or an exposed man, but also he's a man who is viewed as an outcast by his community. He's an outcast. And the Bible tells us in these verses, it says in the verse number 27, "And he went forth to land, and there met him a certain man, which the devils long time, and wear no clothes, and neither abode in any house, but in the tombs." And we find there with this man, he was an outcast, he abode in no place. He had basically hit rock bottom. There was no further to go. And he felt the pain of being low. But over time, he has no respect for himself, he has no respect for other people. And he's been cast out from them, meaning he has no place to rest. And he's an outcast. I was reading there the account of Mark. I'll just read it to you. Verse number 3, it says, Mark 5, "And had dwelling, and who had his dwellings among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not in chains." We find there was no place for him. He had no place. He was an outcast. Let me go further. He was a man who lived where no one else would live. What manner of man is this? He's a man who lives where no one else would live. The Bible tells us that he lived in caves. The Bible tells us that he lived in tombs. And you can read in that verse we read, "And abode in no house, but in the tombs." He had no place for himself. He slept where no one else would sleep. He lived in, the indication was that he lived in a graveyard. There's nowhere for him. But this man knew he had to get to the Savior. And there's another part of him. There's a man who was in chains. And you can read that in the verse number 28. It talks, it says, "And kept bound with chains and with fetters, and break the bands, and driven the devil into the wilderness." But Mark chapter 4 gives us a little clearer on that picture. Or 5, it says, verse 4, Mark 5, 4. "Because he had been often bound with fetters and chains. And chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs." Here he's a broken man as well. It says he was crying and cutting himself with stones. He's a man, he's a broken man. He's a man, he's at breaking point. But the same man still comes to Jesus and comes out by the way. And I want you to look with me. I know some of you still look at the Bible open, Mark chapter 5. Look at verse 6. It says, "And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him." Or that word means that he bowed down to him. Immediately he went from where he was. You see, this man was a man in great need. This man was a man who no one else would go near, but this man, he comes and he bows down to God. And the unique thing is that he knows Christ is to be worshipped. He knows Christ is to be honored. And all these things mentioned, but nothing will stop him from coming out to see the Savior. So let's get a picture of this man. He's a man who was a sinner. By his life, we all acknowledge this man was a sinner. This man was a man who did not care what anybody else thought and lived where nobody else would live. But he was a man of desperate need of the Savior to intervene in his life. And the thing about this man is that everyone sees a sin. But maybe this evening nobody sees yours. But God does. God does. God sees a sin. God knows your heart. And look at this man in verse number 28. Look further. "And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him. And with a loud voice said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I beseech thee, torment me not.' For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of this man." We find here in this passage, we find that this man, he cries. He recognizes what manner of man that Jesus Christ is. Just as a sinner should do in repentance, recognizing their sin, recognizing that the Savior's the only one that can save people from sin. And this man cries and he falls down before Jesus. But why? Why did he fall down before Jesus? Because there's a confession of who Christ really is. Acknowledgement of the Son of God. Remember the words over in Philippians chapter 2. Verse 9 says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every of the things of heaven and the things of earth, the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." To the glory of God the Father. And in confession, he acknowledges who Christ is, to the glory of God. To the glory of God. And as the disciples gazed upon this man, remember, they hear him say these words. They hear these words. They've been looking upon Christ as he did the work on that ship, as they gazed upon him. They said, "What manner of man is this man, Jesus?" But as they look at this man, he's telling them exactly who the manner of man is. Truly, this is the Son of God. His problems are exposed in that verse number 29. "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of this man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters," or shackles, "and he brake the bands, and he was driven off the devil into the wilderness." People caught him. They did what they could. They bound him with chains. He was an outcast. He had fetters. He had chains. And if you look into history, you'll find that those chains were a restraint that were placed upon a prisoner. That meant his hands were bound. His legs were bound. They tried to bind him, but the Bible says they could not hold him. And just like the old devil's got a grip of many a person this evening. In these days. And he says, "Sin and sin and sin your life away." He says it's good to sin. But God says sin bringeth forth death. Let me say the words again. No one else can save anybody. But Jesus can set men and women free. You know, the old devil wanted to ruin this man. He wanted to bring others down with him. And I wonder, have you ever thought much about that passage? Of how that reality is set before us. That the enemy will always attack. And the enemy will always attack what's valuable to you. The Bible says that after this man presented himself before the Savior and proclaiming who Jesus was, there's an admitting, and those demons want to leave. You see, when Jesus comes into the midst of a life, Jesus makes a difference. And not only did the disciples know what manner of man Jesus was, but this man does too. And there's a change, the manner of man, that will no more break the chains placed upon him, because there's no more a need. Because those chains of sin have been broken from him. And after many years, this man saw the manner of man that Christ could do, would be and was, and came into his life. And there's many people in this land today, and they've got the chains of sin upon them. And they're staggering up streets today. And they can hardly make it home. And they've no money to put food on the table. And they're weary. They're worn. They've no money for clothes. And sin's captured them. And they say, I cannot change. But the manner of man who Jesus is can change them and set them free. Can set them free. And can save anyone from sin. It's that old song that tells us, and the blood shall never lose its power. No, never, no, never. Jesus' blood avails for sin forever and shall never lose his power. And this man was to experience the power of God in his life, because Christ commanded, verse 29, that those demons to come out, that this man would be made anew. For he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of this man. And I'm sure the people of the land had tried to fix him. I'm sure they lost hope of him. But Christ brings hope to the weary hearted. Christ sets this man free. And imagine for a moment what this man may have faced. Imagine what he had been going through. Imagine the terror, the storms of life. Imagine the brokenness. But in a moment when Jesus Christ comes that way, he feels exactly the same way as the disciples did a few moments ago. He feels the peace in the midst of a storm. The peace in the midst of the storm. You know, we began this evening with a storm. And very soon we'll come to a close of this meeting and think of the storm that's been upon this man's life. But yet those two storms brought us to the one thing. It brought us to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I was reading a story a few months ago of a great gospel preacher, C.H. Spurgeon. Spurgeon went to try and reach his friends for the Savior. He thought, if I could only go to this man's house, he'll surely get saved. He went. He had a conversation with his friend and told him about the things of God. The man heard it many times before. But Spurgeon felt broken himself. He couldn't reach the man. Nothing he could do that could see this man saved. He stared, and all of a sudden, everything went into quietness, and Spurgeon gazed towards the fireplace. As he looked at that fire, Spurgeon came to his mind, left off one of the coal embers, set it by the side. That night, Spurgeon walked forward, lifted up the coal ember, set it across the side of the hearth. Sat back in his seat, never said another word, and the man just looked at it. Very soon, it started to grow cold. Spurgeon writes, the man shouts, I've got it. I've got it. Put the coal back on, need the fire. Spurgeon that night had the joy and privilege of pointing that man to the Lord and Savior. And it was just when Spurgeon realized he could do nothing of himself, he left it before the Lord. What was that man doing? What were the disciples doing? When they were in the greatest trouble, they left it before the Lord. And they said, Lord, deal with this situation. And each one of those men went away that day, they knowing exactly the manner of man whom Jesus Christ was. You know something else about this man, very briefly? This man had a new position. He got a new job. His old one was to terrorize the nation. But now, praise God, God's got a plan for him. Look at verse number 39. He wants to go with the Savior. He wants to be with them. His desire was to be alongside the Savior. But Jesus says these words, verse 39, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published through the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Christ says, here's your new position. Reach a nation with your testimony. Reach the nation with what God can do in your life. Win your home, win your people. Return to thine own house and show how great things God had done unto thee. You see, for years this man was a burden to the nation. But now this man's changed. And now he has a burden for his nation. And this man, just like you outside of Christ, if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ this evening, oh, what God can do with just one person with a testimony. With one person who's got a testimony. A brand plucked from the burning. He became a man with, from being a burden to them, to a man with a burden for the nation. So I encourage you this evening, dare to be different. Dare to come to Christ and know him as your personal Savior. Dare to trust in the one who will change your life's perspectives. Dare to get saved and know where you shall spend your eternity. And this evening, I pray you'll know the manner of man that Jesus Christ is. You'll say at the close of this meeting, you say, I, having placed my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I know it wasn't a church or a preacher that saved me. But I know the one who can. The manner of man is the Lord Jesus Christ, who has forgiven me from my sin. See the picture of this man looked gloom. It looked as if it was doom and gloom. Nothing would be his help. But in a moment of time when the Lord Jesus came into his life, God made him anew. Maybe there's someone in this meeting this evening. You're saved by God's grace and mercy. Thank the Lord that you are, and God's given you a testimony. Maybe people looked at your life and said, well, I remember the day they got saved. I didn't believe it. But God saved me by his grace. Now I'm a trophy of grace. Maybe there's someone in your family, or maybe someone listening this evening, and they're far from God as well. You say, but preacher, I've prayed for them for a long time. I sought the Lord for them. Today they're harder than ever were before. And I don't know what to say to them. I don't know how to reach them. Child of God, just leave them before the Lord. Because I believe in the manner of man who Christ is, and he's able to save to the uttermost. And I believe that none, as I said at the very beginning, that none's too hard. So I want you to go home. Take the word of God with you. Share it to the nation. Let the nation know that you believe in Jesus Christ. Let the nation know that this evening you're dedicated to give your all to God. Let this nation know who God is. And pray that the tide will turn, that we will see a time of refreshing and a move of God. As I close this meeting, we're going to come to sing in a few moments, and we're going to sing the words of that hymn number 203. I think this evening, we all, every single one of us, need to get back to basics. Get back to God. Get back to where we should be. Forget about being against each other. And just before the Lord. Let's put God first in our lives. And let's love God. And run like this man did. To see the manner of man that Jesus Christ is. We're going to close with the words of that hymn 203. It's on the page 258. I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more, overwhelmed by guilt within. Mercy I did implore. Then the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. Christ my Savior lifted me, now safe am I. Let's keep our seats as we sing the words of this hymn, and then we'll stand as we close the meeting with a word of prayer. Thank you for coming this evening and being a part of this meeting. Maybe you say, Preacher, I have your concern for my soul. Preacher, I know that I need the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Well, come and speak to us. Let us know. Let us be able to open God's Word, show you through God's Word how you can be born again. Say, Preacher, I'm far from God. I'm a backslider this evening. Preacher, I'm sinking away from God for a long time now. Maybe the people in the church, they haven't realized, but I know. Preacher, bring me back. Tell me how I can come back. Help me to taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's sing the words of this hymn 203.